Anybody wish to speak to council?
I think I'll be very succinct. I know you guys are ready to get out of here. Been a long day. I'm sure it's difficult to put your head around the alternatives and all the stuff you guys have been talking about, but if you think it's complicated for you, you should think how complicated it is for the average recreational angler and charter boat captain, many of which don't know anything about this whole habitat endeavor. So when they get hit with it in a short period of time, a lot of them will be finding out shortly what's going on. They're going to try to ingest this entire document and all the alternatives based upon what's on the website and what's available for reading. It's not going to be an easy endeavor. The big complication that I see in this whole endeavor is that there's been a reference area proposal out there for some time, and many of us who are recreational fishermen just learned about it last June or last May, and yet it had been in the document for some time. And those of us who speak on behalf of the industry were not aware of it. You can well guess that the people that are out there fishing on a daily basis, recreational guys and charter guys, were not aware of it at all. So it almost seems that there's a tremendous dearth of input in this transparent process that's supposed to represent the council. And at the end of the day, it's not about what's convenient as a council member. It's what's right for the fish, the fishermen, and the region. And with that said, I certainly encourage everyone to reflect upon the impact that this reference area that's out there is going to have on our local economy. And that, in essence, is where I'll leave you. And that is just just a quick statement that I had written, not to repeat too much of it, but at the very core of this matter is whether the potential scientific advances of the proposed recreational no-bottom fishing reference area warrant the very real economic harm and hardship that's imposed on the region. The Stellwagen Bank Charter Boat Association members feel very strongly that it's not warranted, and therefore we ask the council to adopt alternative one, which is no action. And needless to say, we're going to stand by that, even though this may get batted around at the RAP. We're going to ask that you take into consideration the economic hardship and what the benefit is of this reference area. The fact that the science behind it has been studied multiple times. If there was big scientific gains to be gained out of this that we could see, the recreational fishermen and the charter boat captains would be behind this as well. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yesterday we had the beginnings of what may or may not be a multiple by up as much as 300% overage in recreational haddock. We know, or we think that we have data that collected that the private and for-hire fleet caught that much over our haddock tack, but earlier today I found that we just may not know where that happened. Because we know we have data collection that says that we're catching these fish. But when it comes down to trying to figure out the impact of where our fleet is, we don't know that. And I just have a hard time believing that. I have a hard time believing that there's not science, considering that our recreational tackle industry does an unbelievable job with real deal, on the line, monetary consequence science. I can tell you, I can get you to the economist marketing professionals who decide how many reels aimed at groundfish get placed in what market. And we can tell you what got sold as we pay taxes on them. That's real accountable data that exists. So there has to be a way for the council and to figure out the impact on private recreational anglers when you're talking about closing water to us. Moving off of that subject, as this develops, I hope that those questions, because you're going to hear a lot about that in public input. Next is this. I just heard us say that it's possible that the reference area, the clean area that the rest of the research area might be measured against, would be invalidated if recreational fishing goes into it but it's not invalidated with lobster gear in it. That's a political decision and not scientific. Is this going to be a research area to provide real science, or is it going to be a politically convenient area to get whatever we can get? The council is going to have to make that decision. It isn't today. I get it. It's not about setting the ASMFC up, but if you want a heavyweight battle between recreational anglers and the lobster fleet, you're going to get it, because now we're talking about closing area. It's not a compromise to us, because the lobster guys are going to be in there. It's not shut it all down. It's about, it's not, and there's going to be a research question here. Are we going to, I think if you spend the time to dedicate to this process, whether you're in the audience or at this table, you believe that we need some science that's going to inform stock assessments, that's going to inform management. So the first year, we're going to approve a study that's going to go off in one direction, and then the next year, we're going to find out something, and we're not going to be sure, and there's some big, giant research holes in this document that we don't have alternatives necessarily to comment on. So I'm really nervous about the place that this document is with some big loopholes in it. Not that I'm against them. And the last one is the Recreational Advisory Panel is a truly diverse group that needs a full presentation of alternatives. We may or may not support some stuff that you got pounded with letters in the last month about some stuff that we may flip 100% if we get some time to actually digest it. And Stephen was right. We have not had any kind of a comprehensive presentation of this version of the document in over 3 years. And that's our community leaders. You guys have done a pretty good job at assembling, or the last couple of executive committees have done a pretty good job of assembling a very diverse recreational AP, and we need to bang on it. And I can tell you, in the last 3 days, I've had former council recreational council members, former chairs of this council, two of them, as a matter of fact, on a phone with me going, "We, none of us know what this means versus this. And you've got us confused as rec leaders. So if we're that confused, the comment period's going to be a mess if we don't know what's in it. And we just give us a legitimate, give your advisors some legitimate information so that this process works properly. Because right now it's off track in communicating to the public. And the process isn't going to work. The way that the communities communicate is not going to work if it's not done appropriately. We need that meeting, and we need that meeting done correctly. Thank you.
Anybody else? Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave Waldrip, Chartabout Relentless, Green Harbor. 90% of my business is fishing on Stellwagen Bank in the National Marine Sanctuary for multi-species groundfish. We don't have sea bass. We don't have scup. We don't have fluke like other areas. We're not taking people out who are, you know, tourists on Nantucket. They want to go out fishing for a couple hours. Our customers come from Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York, Maryland. We leave it 5 in the morning, we come back about 3 in the afternoon. A few years ago, we were doing well. We could go out there, fish top of the bank, 100 feet of water, shallow water. Now we're being pushed out to these deeper areas because of the, you know, what the large amount of heavy concentration and depletion, by late March. So we're being forced to fish out these areas. My fear is that, you know, it's already a long day, and if we get pushed further offshore and have to go up towards Jeffries and different areas, that we're going to lose a lot of our customers who can fish out of Gloucester and Seabrook and Newburyport and have an hour and a half ride to go fishing instead of 3. Then we get into the issue of, if we start running over 12 hours, we're required to have a second licensed captain on board. That's going to cost us more money. It's highly encouraged by the Coast Guard. And then on top of that, it says if there's an incident, then you'll be charged with negligence. So we have to have that second captain if we have to run late. You know, this is going to affect several boats. We have boats that fish out of Sandwich, Green Harbor, Plymouth, Scituate, that this area is critical to ground fishing. Remember, we're already shut down 5.5 months out of the year because our customers, you've heard this before, every time we come up with cod, They want cod. They don't want to come for pollock, redfish. They book when it's cod season, and we only have a 6.5-month season. So for the other 5.5, there is no cod fishing going on in that area. We've donated our boat to SMAS. Dave Martins and his group came down. They've tagged fish on our boat. We volunteer it. Our boats took probably tagged 10,000 fish on our own without those people on board. I think the sanctuary and the research community should consider trying to do more research by doing the cod tagging program. I'm sure a lot of the charter boats would be glad to do that. We're sport fishermen, most of our boats. We don't supplement our income by lobster, shrimping, ground fishing. This is what we have. This is a short season, and this is all we can do. And the other thing I'm afraid of is if we're pushed up to those further areas and have 40, 45-mile steams home, we are not required. Many of the boats do. But safety becomes an issue, you know. The charter boats are not required to have survival suits. They're not required to have life rafts. They're not required to have EPIRBs. And they're going to be doing long steams because they're going to have to go great distances to find fish. That's why this area is so important, and I don't support any sort of this research habit area that's going to affect fishing. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Seeing none, Representative Keating left a statement that John Quinn's going to read into the record.
Yeah, I'm not going to read it, but I just want to submit it. Representative Congressman Keating's staff person was here and had to leave. And full disclosure, he was my student and intern last year at the law school, so I wanted to make sure his name was read into the record. Hugh Dunn.
Okay, are there any? I have a few closing remarks, but before I do, are there any comments from the council? Dave, then John, and Frank.
Yeah, just a quick one. I would like to commend Michelle for the enormous amount of work she put into the document as we have it now. It's hundreds of pages of work. I know she didn't write every bit of it, but she wrote a lot of it, and she coordinated the whole thing. It's just a remarkable job she's done, and I wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Nicely done, Michelle.
I just would like to emphasize that a lot of people worked on this, and people have been working very, very hard and putting in a lot of hours. So just recognize the rest of the CAD and the PDT.
Thank everybody. Frank.
Yeah, I was speaking with Jamie earlier. We're going to try and have a wrap meeting prior to the next Groundfish Committee meeting. So if you'd love to address those concerns.
John.
I want to add my thanks to Michelle and all the other people who worked to organize this material. And I think we've done an awful lot today to increase our understanding of the options. And I know we've complicated matters by adding alternatives, but I know I plead guilty because I think I voted for most, if not all of them. So I want to get back to the work at hand in January, and my staff will probably lynch me or say that whatever I'm about to say is absolutely impossible to be done, especially given Matt's motion about all essential, whatever it was. But I think what I'm going to focus on is that it's all essential for us to make decisions. It's the material that we find essential to make decisions. That we define what's essential to make decisions. Tom was saying, well, it's going to take an awful lot of work to do economic analysis. Well, there's an awful lot of bright people around here who know economic impacts of different things because they live it, and they share that information with us. And so as we look at different options, that experience is going to get shared among the members. And I think that so if we look at the different options and we have enough information to make a decision, then we have all the essential information to make a preferred alternative decision in January. So I don't want to give up on the ability to make a preferred alternative in January. If we have the material that we can make a decision on in January, then let's do it. Now, I think one of the things that might be really helpful for us to do that, and I make this request of any member of the council, any member of my staff, any member of the public, is a straw man. That's not gender. A straw man, straw woman, straw whatever. But if someone says, here's a preferred alternative that meets the goals and objectives, you know, but here's a potential answer to the problem that I want to put forth that does the job. And I know for me it's, okay, here's something to look at, and I might take that as a base motion or something and say, all right, well, I might want to add something or subtract something, but it gives you something to start building from. And if it starts getting momentum around it, it's a lot easier to start from something like that than it might be to start from a blank piece of paper. And so I think we can all look at this and think between now and January, because the meeting in January, I think there's some other work we have to do in January too, Tom, right? It's not exactly an easy meeting. So I think if people are thinking about what's the answer to this, and they start offering, here's an answer, and saying within open meeting law and all that kind of stuff, you know, here's an answer that meets our goals and objectives, and we've got something where people say, all right, this does it. I might want to tweak it, or I might make a motion to amend. And I'm serious about this. If people in the audience are doing the same thing, that gets us further along than starting with a blank piece of paper that meeting in January. And I say that to members of the council, to my staff. I think that would be a tool that would be very helpful.
Yeah, thanks, John. And I want to, David?
Yeah, but relative to our getting ready for the next meeting in January, I had a question relative to a key analysis that we really didn't get into in any great detail, although we do have some documents available, very well-prepared documents put together by Deirdre and the Scholar Plan Development Team. I note that document number 7 is a draft memorandum. It's got preliminary analyses. So my question is, well, we have some final analyses relative to these particular issues that relate to impact on the scarlet fishery, or are we going to be relying on these documents that we have before us now, which are very well done, but still, I just want to know where we stand with that.
Good question, Tom.
Well, to be honest, we got a problem, because one of the little things that we have to get done in January is Framework 51. And the Scala PDT actually diverted a lot of their time that they planned to spend on Framework 51 to work on the habitat amendment so we could choose preferred alternatives today, which, of course, we did not do. And we added alternatives which the Scala PDT has not yet had a chance to analyze. So they're in a little bit of a bind because they need to get Framework 51 done. I'm sorry, not 51. I'm in the wrong 25. Almost the same. So they need to get Framework 25 done. Frankly, I'm not quite sure how much time they're going to have, how much additional time they're going to have to donate, or I shouldn't say donate, to dedicate to the habitat amendment before January, because they need to get Framework 51 done. So I don't know if you'll have much 25. It's late in the day to get the framework done. There we go. So I don't know how much time they're going to have to do it. I mean, I'd like to say that they will have all the habitat stuff done again, but the reality is that at this stage they need to focus on the scallop framework, number unspecified.
Are there any further comments? OK, Okay. I want to thank you all for 3 days of your time the week before Christmas and for what I think was a very good discussion on an extremely complex document. As I mentioned, Tom and I and others will circle the wagons and report back to the council and the public with a realistic timeline and game plan, given the additional measures that were added today. I appreciate John's optimism, but from my perspective and consulting with staff, it's highly questionable whether this document be ready for action in January. We'll try, but I just want to make everybody aware of that. So with that said, happy holidays and see you in Portsmouth. This meeting's adjourned.